Every 3 years we get this reading of the Visitation, the second joyful mystery, on this fourth Sunday of Advent. I always have to smile because, and it probably includes many of you, many are making haste, you know, for last minute stuff. God help anybody going to some of these stores today and tomorrow for food or drink or whatever. But we make haste, hopefully, to make others happy, you know. And so Mary is going in haste for a different reason, of course. But in a way, the same reason. They're going to share the joy, the good news that the Messiah is going to be born. So Mary is kind of echoing, or I should say this gospel is echoing, you know, our lives, maybe different reasons for haste, but what is the real reason that I should be hasty? Am I as hasty to do the will of God as I am in these last few days before Christmas, if we, in fact, we have not planned ahead? But what made me think about this gospel, I was talking with a priest friend of mine about it, and the place where this occurred is called Ein Kerem, and it's about a two-day walk from Nazareth, and it's or Bethlehem, and it's right in the middle of those two, and it is in the hill country, so you have to go up some hills to get there. And I've been there twice, and in the interim, something they've done there from the first century, Christians of that era have known this spot, and when Christianity was legalized, churches were built there. The Islamic invasion tore those down, and then they've been rebuilt. The Crusader period, torn down again, rebuilt in modern times, very beautiful. But you walk up the hill, and there's a new statue there of two women. I wish I'd thought to put it up on the slideshow, because you would enjoy this. It's not really a very attractive-looking thing, you may remember. It's two, they basically look like two women made out of sheet iron, which in itself doesn't sound very attractive, but neat. Now remember, Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant. The statue has two thin, very thin individuals of the same age embracing each other. That may be the image that you have as well of this, but if we look at the gospel, that couldn't be more wrong. That is not what's going on here. The gospel doesn't spell out every detail. We have to look at what's being said. So Mary, remember the angel said to her, and this is the sixth month of her who is called barren, for nothing shall be impossible with God. She's got 3 months to go. Mary stayed with her about 3 months. So we can tell very clearly, Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant. The angel has just finished talking to Mary. She says, behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. She thinks about it. She doesn't sit there for 3 months waiting. She makes haste to go, not to make sure the angel has told the truth, but to share the good news with Elizabeth. Now, Elizabeth knows Mary's secret. So imagine the age difference between them. Far from being, now you may get a chance to see this statue, because I hear that if they get a donor, it's coming to Mount Angel, it's coming to the Abbey. I won't say any more, but I hope they find another statue besides that one, but we'll see. Shh, don't tell anybody. It's my alma mater. I can say what I want. But the guest house looks beautiful, though. Speaking of making haste, you know, to be a guest. In that sense, it's a beautiful image. So here's Elizabeth, an elderly woman. Now, in that era, people didn't usually live past 40 or 50. So she's in her 60s, and she's elderly, right? So, sorry. I'm indicting myself with that one. But imagine somebody beyond childhood who, you know, looks her age and is 6 months pregnant. Here comes Mary. Mary's about 15 years old. See the age difference. Mary, you'd have no indication whatsoever that she's pregnant. Not at all. Nothing. There's no indication at all. So Mary comes, and what does Elizabeth say? And now we can see the importance of the words here. And if you don't understand that Elizabeth is definitely, it's obvious what's happening to her and nothing visible to Mary. And yet as Elizabeth, and remember, Elizabeth, for all we know, never saw the angel. It was Zechariah, who couldn't speak, who somehow had to either write down or use sign language to tell Elizabeth what had happened. Elizabeth has come to believe, obviously. And so she sees Mary coming, and what does she say? Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Elizabeth knows Mary's pregnant. She knows without, she sees it without, she doesn't see anything, but she's already glorifying God for what somehow, in some mysterious manner, she has come to know. We are not given to understand how she knows what she does. You're going to see the same thing at the presentation in the temple, when both, here's another Zechariah for you, another Zechariah, and the woman always in the temple will both recognize the Messiah as a baby. All three of these are the Holy Spirit teaching us to recognize Jesus hidden in disguise, one of the great themes of the New Testament. I'm always here, but you're not going to see me directly until the end of your life. Then I'll show you where I was. So all three of these incidents are like this. She says, how can the mother of my Lord be coming to me? Well, they're cousins. I suppose Mary's mother or father was a sister or brother to Elizabeth, perhaps, or maybe she's a great a cousin. I don't know, something removed. I never could figure that stuff out. I have cousins in Ohio. I call them my wonderful cousins, 3,000 miles removed. I don't exactly know what the age thing is. They come and they embrace each other. And also, another question we have to ask is, how did Mary get there? And this is really critical, because she's only 15, or at the most edging into 16. That's a normal time to get married in that culture, because they didn't live as long as we do. See, we push that out. Childhood lasts longer in our culture because life lasts longer. So did she come with Joseph? But Joseph and Mary are not living together. That may not have appeared appropriate. We don't know. Mary had two parents living. Tradition calls them Joachim and Anne. Those names come from the Proto-Evangelicum of James, a writing that almost made it into the New Testament, but not quite, from which many of our devotions of that period originate. And so those are the names traditionally given. But she had parents. It would seem most likely that Mary's parents went. They probably were more skeptical. They didn't see an angel. They probably wanted to know if this was really true. And so no doubt they went and dropped her off so she could help her elderly cousin for 3 months as a good work of charity. Where's Joseph in this? My guess is that if Mary had told Joseph right away, there would have had been a huge altercation, and Mary would not have gone in haste. Instead, she'd have to be having that tiffle with Joseph over who the father was. So most likely, Mary came back herself 3 months, and Joseph and her had a bit of a crisis. But that's yet in the future. Mary doesn't know there's going to be any suffering at all with her yes yet. And so with all of that in mind, we find that all of this is a sign for us. These stories are here for a reason. Luke is very careful in what he is able to put in on a limited scroll. But he felt that this was important for us to know, because Christ, we're on a pilgrimage ourselves. We will be, once we've said yes to God and had the joy, for example, the initial joy of Christmas. I don't know if you have joy being together with your whole family, but there's joy in a lot of what we do. And then we have to go on a diet to work off all the calories. God knows I do. We have to pay the bills. We have to go back in line at some store and return something we very insincerely said thank you for, or whatever the thing is. We have there's a little suffering involved at the end of the cleaning up the mess, and that sort of thing. But when we say yes to God, we don't know what's coming. And Mary doesn't either. Neither did Elizabeth know that Mary was going to be coming. She recognized Jesus in disguise. Well, I recognize Jesus in disguise. Unfortunately, there have been a sick call almost every day for 2 weeks down at the hospital, so it's been real busy for me and hard on the families, some of them that I visited, of all ages. And yet, as convenient or inconvenient that is, anybody who visits someone who's sick is finding Christ at the other end, as I've said many times. Others, we had many times for confession, and I was never short of a customer, I can tell you, not once. And people there found Christ. They were hidden inside of myself, not that I'm Christ, but Christ was making use of a poor and lowly instrument to forgive people. It was simply my using my words and my hands, going back to the apostles. It was a wonderful gift, and there's still time next week. But we also find, of course, in the people we tried to help, you know, of which the Giving Tree is a perfect example. It's just one of many. You have many places Christ is hidden, and it might be amongst your family on Tuesday if there's somebody that is a little bit difficult to be with, holding our tongue. That's for Christ. You know, even picking out something that someone else wants instead of what I want. That's called maturity. As children, all we think about is what we're going to get. But as adults, we try to think about the other and making them happy. And that's what makes us happy. That's why we do what we do here at Christmas. And so the Giving Tree, of course, is perfect because we don't know who's receiving it. Christ will be receiving it, but he won't show you who it was until the last day of your life. It's a present that we open when we get to the next world. And somebody else opened now. We buried Betty Lou Danner yesterday. She died midweek, and we didn't have a chance to tell anybody about it. But what I found out about her, which I found interesting, was she was one of our major prayer shawl knitters. I really don't know who does that. I just know that I bless them constantly. We have prodigious output of prayer shawls, and they get used. My own stepmother in Big Bear is terminal cancer, and so I was pulling my hair out as to what to get her. But I ended up, I thought, she's going to get a prayer shawl, you know, and so she's getting a prayer shawl. And she likes pink. So I gave her the only pink prayer shawl that we have. And I was told that Betty Lou made it. And, you know, now Betty Lou didn't know who got it, and my stepmother won't know who made it. Christ made it, and Christ received it. You see how the visitation is suddenly very real to us. And so we're grateful to God that he gives us so many opportunities to recognize him. If we miss one and others coming, we have a lifetime. We've never had an angel appear to us directly, so we have more leeway. But at Christmas, amidst all the hubbub and hassle and haste, we who are privileged to come to St. Ed's here will have a chance, or other churches throughout the world have a chance to see what Christmas is really all about, that what Christ gave to us in poverty, we also approach him in poverty, and by meeting him in the circumstances and people of our lives, we become wealthy beyond our wildest dreams.